it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And in Matthew chapter number 11, beginning in verse 15, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you, and you have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and you have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous, and a winebibber, and a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. Then he began, then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Father, we thank you this morning. We have the opportunity to assemble ourselves here and worship in spirit and in truth. We thank you, dear Lord, today that you've given us this day to come and to worship. We thank you, dear Lord, today for the breath of life that you've breathed into us. We thank you this morning, Lord, for your word that guides us and directs us and reveals your will for our lives. We ask you now you might take this simple message, you might use it for thine honor and thy glory. We might lift up and exalt thy Son. In his precious holy name we pray. Amen and amen. There's a theme that runs through this passage that I read to you and the passage over in Matthew chapter 10 this morning. And that is, that theme this morning is judgment, and more specifically, the judgment of God. Now, when you make a judgment, that is to pass an opinion on something or someone. Many times we're told not to judge, but that usually is taken very much out of context. But this morning we find that it really means make a decision. And we find this morning that here is it refers to the judgment of God. We hear a great deal in our society today about God's love, and God certainly is love and certainly does love us this morning. We hear a great deal about the mercy of God, and certainly He is a merciful God, and His mercies are anew every morning. We hear a great deal this morning about the grace of God, and certainly this morning He is a graceful God, and without His grace, none of us would be here today. But we hear very little about the judgment of God. And without God's judgment, there would really be no need for His love or His mercy or His grace this morning. And we find as we read through the New Testament this morning, it's a New Testament doctrine that sometimes and must and needs to be addressed. And people need to realize that there is a judgment that is coming this morning. The Apostle Paul wrote to young Timothy, and he said, Timothy, I want you to preach the word. This is the charge that I'm laying out before you. Preach the word. Don't preach this morning your own doctrine. Don't preach something you learned in a Bible college or a seminary. But Timothy, preach the word. And he says, be instant in season and out of season. Somebody said, what does that mean? That means you preach it whether they like it or whether they don't like it. It's always the Word of God to be preached today, and there's never a time that this morning the Word of God is not to be delivered from the pulpits of our churches today. He said, be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. If you read that this morning, there are three things that Paul says that we're to do with the Word of God. We're to reprove, we're to rebuke, and we're to exhort. Now, 2-1, there's more reproving and rebuking than there is exhorting this morning. And so this morning, sometimes the Word of God is used as a reproving and a rebuking instead of an exhorting today. Judgment is taught throughout the Scripture this morning. You read, Paul wrote in the book of Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. We all have an appointment with death. We all have an appointment this morning with death, but we also all have an appointment with judgment. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Revelation chapter number 20 depicts for us the great white throne judgment of God, where the small and great, no matter who they are, will stand before God and be judged this morning out of the things written in the books. I'm convinced this morning that those books are the 66 books that we hold in our hands and commonly call the Bible today. And if your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, then the Bible says you'll be tossed in the lake of fire that burneth with fire and brimstone forever and forever this morning. We read of God's judgment throughout the Old Testament this morning. You read about Noah and his day and how that God looked down and saw that everything that man doing was evil. Even the thoughts of his heart was on evil continually. And God judged that antediluvian world this morning with a great flood and preserved only Noah and his wife and his sons and their wives this morning throughout the flood and brought them safe on the other side through the ark. A great picture of the judgment of God falling this morning, and only those who are safe are in the ark of God. Only those who are safe this morning are in the Lord Jesus Christ in our day and our age. But God's judgment fell. God's judgment fell this morning on Korah and his group who rebelled against Moses. And the earth opened up and swallowed them and let them slide down into hell at that very moment of time. He judged Israel and he judged Judah this morning and sent them into years of captivity to the Assyrians and the Babylonians this morning. And he punished them for their sins, and God's judgment fell upon those nations this morning, the apple of his eye. And we read in our text this morning that God's judgment fell upon the land of Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah this morning. So when Jesus makes a statement that he made in Matthew chapter 10 and says that I'm going to tell you that there's coming a bunch of folks this morning whom this morning are going to find it more intolerable than Sodom and Gomorrah, whom God destroyed with fire and with brimstone. And he says unto the city of Capernaum this morning, he said in verse number 23, that verse number 24, but I say unto you that shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. When Jesus makes those kind of statements this morning, we need to pay careful attention to him this morning. We need to listen to what Jesus is saying to us in these verses. Our nation this morning needs to listen to what the Lord is speaking through his word. You see, this morning, Sodom, Jesus said Sodom would have remained. Sodom would have been with us till this day if the things that he had done while he was walking on the face of this earth had been done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have still been here today. They would have still remained. That's an amazing statement when you begin to think about it and you think of all the sins of Sodom. We usually think of it this morning as being sodomy, but it goes a far deeper than that. You can read a great deal about it in Ezekiel 16 this morning, and there God lists many of the sins of Sodom. They're synonymous this morning with a very evil and wicked place and a wicked lifestyle this morning. Jesus said that if the things that I've done in this city had been done in Sodom this morning, they would have remained until this hour. Sodom would have remained. Why? Because Sodom would have repented. Sodom would have brought forth a time that they would have come and repented before God and turned around and went the direction that they needed to go. Sodom would have been renewed by God from heaven. But Sodom is gone, and Sodom has been judged, and Sodom perished in fire and brimstone this morning. And you see, Sodom had no Bible. There was no Bible as you and I have this morning. There was no Word of God as we have it in our hands today. Sodom had no Bible. Sodom had no churches. Sodom this morning had no preachers. They had no tracts. They had no religious schools. They had no seminaries. They had no Bible colleges. Sodom this morning was a very wicked and awful place when God was getting ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He this morning spoke these words to Abraham, and Abraham, knowing that his nephew Lot was in that city, asked God this morning, would he not destroy it if he could find 50 righteous men in that city? And God said, if there be 50 righteous men, I won't destroy it. And Abraham said, what about 40? Okay. What about 30? Okay. What about 20? Okay. What about 10? What about 5? Sodom this morning had no righteous people. It had nobody who was right with God. Now we know that God preserved and brought Sodom and his two daughters out this morning. But understand this, Sodom this morning was a very wicked and awful place where there was really no witness to God's love and God's mercy and God's grace, where there was no one preaching and teaching people that God's judgment was going to fall because of their sin. So when Jesus speaks this morning of Sodom and his judgment, we better listen. We better take careful and heedful attention to what the Lord is saying. Our nation needs to take careful attention this morning. This nation that we live in and that we love and we've fought many wars to defend, and the freedoms we hold dear this morning in this wonderful great nation called the United States of America needs to set up and take notice to what Jesus is saying here in these verses of Scripture. Because this morning, as you look around, you can find that we live in a wicked and terrible place this morning. And we're turning more like Sodom every day. How sad that is, because we have Bibles and churches and preachers and tracts. We have the internet. We have television. We have all kinds of access to the Word of God. Yet we find our nation this morning is continually sliding down into the depth of depravity. We better listen to what Jesus is saying in these words in our nation this morning. Every individual better listen to what God is saying today. We better listen to as the Lord speaks about his judgment. There are three things Jesus, I want you to notice what Jesus is talking about here in our scripture today. Number one was the works of the Savior. He said, if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. The works of the Savior. What did Jesus do? You know, sometime we ask this morning, what would Jesus do? Well, read the Word of God and you'll find what Jesus did, so you know what Jesus would do. Pretty simple, isn't it? But let me tell you, you read over in Mark chapter number 2, as Jesus made his headquarters. As a matter of fact, Capernaum evidently was the place that he worked out of more than any other place. And in Mark chapter number 2, we've read this story many times, I'm sure, and been a lot of sermons preached upon it. But the Bible says, and again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house, that he was here, that Jesus was back in town, that he was at his home, that he was out his house, and many came to listen, and there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he done what? He preached the word unto them. And then, of course, it talks about here comes an impotent man who was born by four of his friends, and they let him down through the roof. And Jesus heals the man this morning, and he brings this man back to walk upon his own power. Capernaum had seen what Jesus could do. They could see that he was a miracle-working God, that he only, the Son of God, only God himself, through his own power, could do to this man what Jesus did for him. Mark chapter number 5, you find that there's three different people in that particular scripture this morning in Mark chapter number 5 that Jesus and Jesus' power this morning worked miracles in their life. As you read down through there, we find this morning that he starts out with a maniac of the Gadarenes. Here was a man that lived among the tombstones, who lived in the graveyard, who screamed and hollered at night, and nobody could contain him this morning. The Bible says he had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not even with chains. He had supernatural strength coming from the demons living within inside him. The Bible says in verse 4, neither could any man tame him. Society had done all they could. They had rehabilitated him. They'd educated him. They'd sent him to psychologists and psychiatrists. They'd done everything they could, but they still couldn't tame him. And he was always night and day. He was in the mountains and the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. Oh, what a man. They had to leave him out here in the tombstones. They had to leave him in the graveyard. He couldn't be around other people. He couldn't be tamed. When Jesus came, the Bible says in verse number 7, and he cried with a loud, or verse 6, but when he saw Jesus far off, he ran and worshiped him. Well, what something else that was, wasn't it? But Jesus cast the demons out of him. You know, the strange thing, when you begin to read through that, when you get this man wanted to go with Jesus, but Jesus said, no, you go home and tell him what God's done for you. You tell him what the Lord has done for you this morning. As you read through there, you'll find that he was clothed and in his right mind and sitting at the foot of Jesus. These people had seen what Jesus could do. The works of the Savior were manifest and revealed unto them. He works in our midst this morning. He's worked in the midst of our nation today. What a great nation we are. But what a greater nation we used to be. Why? Because we had seen the works of God, and our forefathers, as they came to this nation, as they came to this country, they founded it upon the principles and the foundation of the Word of God. But this morning we've deviated from that. We've moved from that. And now we're not ruled this morning by God, but we're ruled this morning by man. And as we move further away from God, how sad that is today. Queen Victoria, I guess probably the greatest queen of England, at one time had a Zulu king come to visit her, and her nation had conquered all of those nations. The sun didn't set upon the British Empire, and she took him around and showed him all of the sights of London. And he asked her this question. He said, Great White Mother, I want to know how that with my people being more fierce than your people, my people being stronger than your people, my people being more numerous than your people, how could you have conquered us? It is said that Queen Victoria stepped from her throne and reached to a side table and picked up the Bible and handed it to him and said, the Bible, we honor the Bible. Today it cannot be said the sun doesn't set upon the British Empire because they went away from God's word. And now they're one of the weakest nations in the world. Let me tell you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, we are in dire straits today. We've left God. We've left his word. And the Bible says all the nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. The Bible this morning is our guide to life, our guide to living. We're to practice it and go by it. Make our judgments upon it. And as we look around this nation, as we look at the things that we're doing in this country, and we look at the things that Sodom was doing, I wonder this morning how much longer we can stand, because God's judgment this morning comes upon those nations that forget him. Our nation. We look at individuals today. We look around and we see God's work. We see what God can do. Brother Bruce testified just a moment ago of some of the mighty work of God. Amen. I mean, that's God's work. You couldn't have planned it. God just put everything in place. But I look around today and I see people who are God's miracles, who God has done something in their life. Hey, listen, we could talk this morning about many people. We could talk about this morning about a lot of historical characters. But just take yourself, for instance. You know, Gideon asked the angel of the Lord, said, if God be for us, where be all his miracles? I'm going to tell you where's a miracle. Go home and look in the mirror. Go home and look in the mirror. I wasn't looking for the Lord. Thank God he is looking for me. I really wasn't. I didn't really care anything about the Lord. But one day, he sent a simple man. And I'm going to tell you how simple it is and how much of a miracle it is. He didn't tell him anything about Jesus. He didn't tell him anything about the Bible. He said this one simple thing. He said, why don't you and Desi go to church with us in the morning? And I said, I think I will. Now I can look in the mirror and say, that's a miracle of God. How simple that was. But what a great miracle God worked this morning. And I look around. I see God working miracle in the lives of individuals. I see God working this morning and saving souls. I say, hey, there's a testimony of God's power and God's love, God's mercy and God's grace. That's what Jesus is saying to these people. Everything that I've done has been a testimony to me. We have miracles everywhere. But you see the wickedness of unbelief. What was the great sin of Capernaum? I read a great deal on this week, and I've never seen so much stuff. Some people even tried to use this particular passage of Scripture as a reason to promote gay rights and gay marriage and other things today. So far from the truth. What was the great sin of Capernaum? As I said, he talked here about Sodom. And you can read in Ezekiel 16 a list of sins that Sodom committed. And then they went into perversion. That's a great sin today. We'll look at verses 16 and 17. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is likened unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows, and saying, we have piped unto you, and you have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and you have not lamented. What was this great sin? He says, like a group of children, and they're sitting over here and they're playing a game. And they start singing. They start making music. Nobody won't dance with them. They start crying and nobody won't cry with them. He said, let me tell you the great sin of Capernaum this morning is very simply this. Is the sin of unbelief and rejection this morning. They rejected of his grace. They refused his message. They slighted his love. And it's a simple decision of unbelief. They simply would not receive what God had sent to them. Hebrews chapter 10, the Apostle Paul, as he says something very careful, and you need to listen to it this morning. For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain, fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. How much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. We reject God's message. We refuse God's grace. We slight God's love this morning. And we trod underfoot the blood of the Son of God. And we do it this morning despite the Holy Spirit of God convicting our hearts. God says, hey, that's wicked unbelief. And it'll be more tolerable for Sodom than for you. This nation has rejected God, but individuals reject God also. And they reject the message of the cross. They reject this morning the invitation of the Savior. They refuse the grace and love and mercy of God. Jonathan Edwards, the great Puritan preacher who preached a sermon entitled Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And he said, there's one thing that keeps men out of hell today, and that's God's judgment that can let go at any moment. The wickedness of unbelief. And then the warning of the Scripture. We need to heed the warnings of the Lord. We need to heed when God says, hey, you better stop, you better pay attention, and you better listen to what's happening. Over in Sullivan, Alabama, several years ago, there was a train hit a carload of women as they were headed to work at the garment factory. When I pastored a church over there, one of the ladies that was in the church was in the automobile. I think she was the only one that survived. I think there were seven that were killed. And I said, what happened? And she said, we were running a little late for work. We saw the train, and we tried to beat it. But they didn't make it. The warning was there. The warning was there. This morning, ladies and gentlemen, God warns us And if we try to beat the train, destruction is inevitable, and our destination has been secured. We better not refuse and reject what God has done for us this morning. The warnings are all through the Word of God. He being often reproved shall harden his heart, that without remedy. We sin willfully, no more sacrifice for sins. Some folks think you're going to get a second chance, but there's no second chance. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment, and that judgment is final forever and forever and forever. Sodom was a horrible, wicked place, but Jesus said, you better take a careful look at them and then look at your own selves this morning. All right, we stand together, Brother Bruce and Barbara. Come, Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we've been together. I ask you to take this very simple message and use it for the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for us. In his precious holy name I pray. Amen.